Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck, and with me here in NYC is the one and only Clay Travis in the EIB studio here. Clay, welcome. You bring the fire and fury with you to New York today. It's pretty remarkable, really.
Chaos everywhere. I know you are fired up. I'm glad that I don't live here because of all of basically vaccine passports suddenly becoming a reality. But also, I mean, major news coming down in the last hour with the official announcement of the results of the Governor Cuomo sexual harassment investigation. And now the question is going to be, is Cuomo going to maintain his governorship? It would be a hell of a duo if we could get Newsom removed in September and if Cuomo also had to get removed from office. But this is, I mean, I would say it's almost like New York City chaos here going on in terms of what's happened in the last couple of hours.
Well, I still think that the biggest thing by far as a resident here is that Mayor Bill de Blasio, who, let's all be clear, is certainly in the running for the worst mayor in America. I'm sorry, Portland. I'm sorry, Los Angeles. I know, you know, Chicago. I know there are a few places that might want to claim the title. But I think that Mayor de Blasio has done more to ruin a great city, my hometown, place I grew up in, than anybody could have ever imagined. And to add to it today, he decides that starting in a few weeks, they're going to be checking your vaccine papers, so to speak. You got to have a vaccine passport to go into restaurants, bars, indoor entertainment facilities, all these different things. This leaves a ton of open territory. What about 12-year-olds who can't get vaccinated? What about people who have already been infected? Of course, they're being left out in this whole process. Here is the governor. The mayor announcing it.
The key to NYC Pass will be a first in the nation approach. It will require vaccination for workers and customers in indoor dining, in indoor fitness facilities, indoor entertainment facilities. This is going to be a requirement. The only way to patronize these establishments indoors will be if you're vaccinated, at least one dose. The same for folks in terms of work. They'll need at least one dose. This is crucial because we know that this will encourage a lot more vaccination. We've seen it already.
Clay, this is a vaccine passport mandate in America's largest city, and people are pretending like this isn't going against what they said all along, which is we're not going to do this. Don't worry. It'll be voluntary.
I'm not sure. So first of all, I would imagine this is going to be immediately challenged in court. And so if federal vaccine mandates are not permissible, I question why it would be permissible. And again, this is not me as an expert in the law of viruses or in the law of vaccinations or anything else. But I question how, if federal mandates are not allowed, how it would be permissible in the biggest city in the country to require it. And then for a lot of you out there listening who may say, well, that sucks for people in New York. I mean, I think the immediate response that people have, Buck, is how does this apply to the millions of people who would be tourists in New York City? I mean, are you not going to be able to check into a hotel room? Are you not going to be able to go to a restaurant or bar or to a play if you come to New York City? So for people out there who are saying, oh, that's New York, but it's not really going to impact me, there are millions and millions of people, in addition to people who live in New York City, who come through this city on a day-to-day, year-to-year basis. And so to me, this is a really fascinating, it almost feels like a law school exam hypothetical for everybody out there who's curious about what law school is like. They try to come up with cases that do not have direct precedence and have you argue what the actual legal outcome would be. And I'm fascinated by this because, again, if federal mandates, which I think is clear, are not constitutional, how can a individual city require vaccine passports, which would then be required for anyone who visits the city as well, which, again, New York City, millions of people every year are tourists here.
Well, the Biden administration has basically hinted that it thinks that vaccine passports at the federal level are permissible. Now, your analysis will probably be correct, but we see this with gun rights issues all the time. Their approach is make the mandate.
Yes.
Dare somebody on the right or dare some conservative constitutionalist to put a universal injunction in place and get away with the violation of those rights or get away with the overreach policy as long as possible and then deal with it. Oh, okay. So we had a vaccine mandate for 6 months or a year and then it made its way to the courts and it got overturned or maybe even longer than that, right? So that's a possibility here in New York. It could even theoretically be at the federal level. Although here's the problem. I think they know that at the federal level, there would be enough political pushback that this could be a problem, right?
Yes.
The Biden administration knows that. Challenge with where we are right now, Clay, in New York City, we have little vaccine passport enablers all over the place. Most of this city is going to be fine with this. Most of the people in power in this city are going to go along with it. It is fascinating, though, just to give some people a sense of how this will play out in the weeks ahead. 69% of African-American residents of New York City, 58% of Latinos, a majority of residents of the Bronx, one of the five boroughs here, will be ineligible to eat in a restaurant, go to a gym, go to a movie, or perhaps even go to their jobs because these are mandates that the city is now pushing on them. That's going to be interesting optics.
Well, no doubt, because it's racist, according to every Democratic argument, if you apply the logic. Also, if it's racist to require an ID to vote, imagine the logical pretzels that people are going to have to twist themselves into to justify a vaccine in order to even go about day-to-day life. And to your point, that's particularly the case when the application of this rule would have a fairly substantial impact based on race, right? Now, you can argue that it's not race-based. But to your point, the percentages overwhelmingly of people that are not vaccinated in New York and also in the country are Black and Latino individuals. So this is, again, I think if you are out there, this is the fear that has been in existence for a long time that the COVID madness was going to lead to a form of vaccine passport, which they're trying to do in France, which they're trying to do in Italy, which I believe they've tried to do in many different European countries, and there have been mass protests arising against them. But I just think about the application of it for purposes of somebody like me. I happen to be in New York City right now. I live in the otherwise free state of Tennessee. When I land in New York City, if I'm not vaccinated, am I not allowed to go to a restaurant? Am I not allowed to go to a gym? Am I allowed to go to a hotel?
Starting mid-September, the answer is no. You won't be able to go to a restaurant or a gym. Hotels is an interesting question. I haven't seen that one addressed directly, but I would imagine that hotel common space would be closed to you, right? So anything where people are intermingling, the hotel lobby, bar, all the rest of it would fall under those mandates. But Clay, this is the continuation of what we've said all along, which is that the framework, the mindset of people of lockdowners from the beginning was going to take us to this inevitable place. And at every phase where it was clear they had to push a little further, a little more, they pretended like it was just this one last time.
Yes.
And this is pretty much now, we're at the end stage of Fauciite madness. This is pretty much the final phase of this.
So what will you do?
This is what I've been thinking about.
So for people out there who have forgotten or have not necessarily picked up on in a discussion we've had so far, you and I have both had COVID. We both have COVID antibodies, which if you talk to infectious disease experts, the idea is that our COVID antibodies are stronger having had a natural infection, by and large, oftentimes, than they would be if you were vaccinated. So what will you do?
I think I have no choice. And by the way, I want to open it up because I know we have a lot of people listening in New York and the tri-state area. And remember, you live in New Jersey, you live in Connecticut.
Come into the city.
Very good chance that you work, you commute in New York, or at least you come in. You know, now it's not even, well, I'll go in for a show and have dinner with the missus or with the husband or whatever. Now it's going to be, show me your vaccine papers. Doesn't matter what state you're from. They're not going to waive it for people. And I'm curious, so 800-282-2882, we'll open up the lines to people who are affected by the mandate here, who have, if you have not gotten vaccinated, are you going to now? And is there any desire for real pushback? I mean, it's one thing to be non-mask compliant, right? Because then it's, okay, fine, I'll put my mask on. You show up at a restaurant and you don't have your vaccine passport because you're not vaccinated. It's not like, oh, okay, I'll run down the street and get the shot. I mean, now you're actually playing with real consequences in your day-to-day for your actions. And so you're asking me what I'm going to do? If this mandate stands, what choice does one really have in New York but to submit, bend the knee, and get the shot, even if you have been, as I have, proven and previously infected with the COVID-19 virus?
I just think it is such a draconian move that is entirely based on the current panic that we are seeing from the Delta variant. So if the Delta variant recedes, as we have seen it occur in England, is the political pressure going to recede here too? I mean, this is a blockbuster move. And the question for a lot of people out there is this going to be followed by Los Angeles? Is it going to be followed by other cities, or is New York going to stand on an island alone?
I think a lot of mayors and maybe even some governors right now are watching how this plays out in New York, and this becomes the laboratory for the Fauciite madness all across the country. But my, oh my, I know. Well, the people living in red states right now, they're feeling like maybe time to get out of New York, Buck. But I'm telling you, this Biden administration, they're coming for all of us if this stands. This is not, don't think this is just the New York thing. If they get away with it, this will expand in other ways across the country. But we've also got to come back to the Cuomo fiasco here. Sexually harassed multiple women, according to the AG report. Will the governor of New York, the great pandemic hero until he wasn't, will he resign? Clay and I will dive into that with you in a moment. And also, the border is messier than it has ever been. More unaccompanied minors, more minors in general in detention. We'll tell you what's going on there. But if you're with AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, guess what? You are paying too much for your cell service. Pure Talk is on the exact same network, using the exact same towers as one of those big carriers, but for a heck of a lot less. In fact, Pure Talk saves the average family over $800 a year. I mean, I just think about it. If someone's got a few thousand dollars of credit card debt, Clay, all they're doing is switching their cell phone service, and at the end of 12 months, they get to just send $800 to pay that down, or $800 to get something you want for the family you've been saving up for, you know, put it down for a vacation, and you get the same service. Why not?
Yeah, no doubt. And also, you just heard me before the show started. What was I doing, Buck? I was mediating kid disputes, and I was doing it through a new phone. You can listen to this offer. You can get your kids, your family, unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. All you have to do, you might be wondering, how can I save up to $800 a year? From your cell phone right now, dial #250 and say Pure Talk, and you'll save 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. This is the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us in studio in New York City, where things are going absolutely crazy. The first ever vaccine mandate announced anywhere. And I do think this is a question, Buck, that everybody's going to have to be deciding for themselves is, first of all, how is this going to be applied? And I can't get over how out of nowhere this feels like to me.
Right. I mean, why spring now? This on us? We've had so much time here where we could have had a public discussion. In fact, he could have said, look, if we don't see X vaccination rate by a certain date, we're going to institute a mandate. They just decided. It feels like a panic maneuver, which so much of the COVID response has been. And there are some things where I haven't seen. I'm reaching out to people I know here in New York City government. I'm talking to people on the city council. What does it mean, Clay? You know, you're here visiting. Let's say you got 3 kids, right? Yep. Let's say you brought your 3 kids, your wife with you. Well, some of your children are under 12. So yep. Does that mean now you can't go to a restaurant? Because they're not going to be able to be vaccinated.
That's right.
So is there a loophole? Is there a carve out for children? We've already talked about how there's no carve out put in place for those who have already been infected, which is anti-science. There's no reasonable basis for this other than they just want a one size fits all policy. So there's going to be a lot of how does this really get implemented? And then there's also the I cannot believe they're doing this. These people are out of their minds.
Not only that, to your point on the amount of people who are traveling in, de Blasio had not put in a mask mandate. So if you were not going to do a mask mandate, this seems like you're skipping over a lot of different levels. You know, it's one thing, L.A., Washington, D.C., we've been ridiculing the decision to go with a mask mandate there. Other cities have attempted it, St. Louis. But no one has jumped from, you know, we're not going to require any mask, to suddenly now requiring vaccines. And I just, I wonder legally where he got this advice, why he decided on a random Tuesday. This kind of landed out of nowhere, right? I mean, you're a New York City resident. If I had said last night, we're talking on the phone, you know what's going to happen tomorrow, in addition to the Cuomo mess, you probably could have seen that coming down at some point. De Blasio is going to come out and he's going to demand that everybody be vaccinated and vaccine passports are going to be implemented. And by the way, think of all the businesses that are already struggling, that are hanging on by their fingernails to be able to stay open, restaurants, bars, so many places. You're taking a substantial portion of their business and saying, you can't serve these people. That can't help the overall economic vitality of those businesses either.
It's going to hurt businesses. It's also going to hurt a lot of workers who haven't been vaccinated up to this point. They've seen all the notices. They've seen the $100 that has been offered. This is all out there. There's nobody who doesn't know what the case is for vaccination at this point.
Right.
There are only people who have made an affirmative decision or made a decision by, you know, just deciding that they're going to be apathetic about it, that they're not getting the vaccine. And yet now it seems that the de Blasio administration has sprung this on everybody, almost like they think that by incurring some degree of anxiety in people like me. I mean, as of a few weeks from now, I will be barred from my gym. I'll be barred from all restaurants. We have work dinners here in New York. So what am I supposed to do? I'm not allowed to meet with sponsors. I'm not allowed to sit down with people that I work with and a meal unless I'm vaccinated. I mean, they're twisting arms here. They're doing it with as much ferocity as they can get away with. And that's the New York. By the way, Clay, you know how many people are dying on average in New York City from COVID the last 2 weeks? About 5 a day. 5 out of 8.7 million or whatever the latest numbers are.
It is madness on an epic scale. And again, we're going to take some of your calls here in a little bit. But I think for many people out there, the question is, when things happen in L.A. and they put a mask mandate in, you knew it was going to spread. Will this spread to other cities? Are they going to look at this in L.A.? Are they going to look at this in Chicago? How will you balance out city and state directives? If a city requires a vaccination, is a state not going to require the vaccination? It's very messy. And this is going to be, I think, one of the monumental legal struggles of most of our lives to figure out what is and what is not permissible. What you got for me?
It's a very uncertain world we're living in. And one of the many things we talk about when it comes to gold is protection. Protection is important for your portfolio, but the greatest satisfaction I had was in buying gold when the package from Oxford Gold Group arrived at my home. It was like Christmas morning. I invested, and then I had that investment in my hands, real gold. My partners at Oxford Gold Group have precious metals that can be delivered to your home. There's nothing like real gold on your doorstep. Now, when I open my safe, I have my passport, my home protection, a bit of reserve cash, and real gold from the Oxford Gold Group. So if you think buying real gold is complicated, my friends at Oxford Gold Group are who you need to call. They'll explain everything to you. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA, it's just a phone call away. Call them right now, 833-404-GOLD, and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA or delivered to your door. That's 833-404-GOLD.
Based on our investigation, we concluded that the executive chamber's workplace culture, one rife with bullying, fear, and intimidation on the one hand, while normalizing frequent flirtations and gender-based comments by the governor on the other, created the conditions that allowed the sexual harassment and retaliation to occur and to persist.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck, and with me here in studio in NYC, the capital of vaccination mandate madness, is my man Clay Travis. And we were just hearing there from June Kim, former acting Manhattan U.S. attorney, who was brought in to investigate as part of the investigation against The formidable in New York State politics, Governor Andrew Cuomo, who Clay is now officially found by this report. Now, this isn't a criminal trial. It's not a jury, but this is what the official investigation of the state of New York Office of the Attorney General, led by Letitia James, what they found was essentially Cuomo said creepy things, grabbed women who worked for him, did unwanted touching, including unwanted touching of sensitive areas. This guy was a serial sexual harasser in violation of state and federal laws, created a toxic workplace, and even retaliated against women who came forward to speak out against this. It's a pretty damning report as these things can go, Clay. What do you make of it?
No doubt. It also, this report included previously unreported allegations, including from a state trooper assigned to his protective detail. Right. I mean, so I used to do in my previous life, I did sexual harassment investigations internally for companies when they got complaints. So I know I have pretty decent experience for what it's like to sit across the table from someone, go through these details, hear their side of the story. And remember, Cuomo cooperated with the investigation and denied all of the allegations. In my experience, I've never seen, it was always a woman alleging that she was sexually harassed by a man. I've never had anybody admit, hey, I did it, right? It's almost unheard of in a sexual harassment investigation for someone to wave their hand and say, oh, you know what? I did behave inappropriately. A lot of times this is he said, she said sort of relationships. What happened here appears to be such a systemic issue that it's not one woman. And it's not any one incident. And so, and this may happen during the course of today's show, there are reports that Cuomo is going to respond to this investigation and provide in some way a further defense. But Buck, I think we have to almost spin this story forward and ask, are these allegations so significant now that they have been in many ways confirmed by the Attorney General of New York and validated? Is Andrew Cuomo going to be able to stay in office or not? And there's interesting case examinations politically that we can think of. I think most Democrats now, Buck, would agree that it was unfortunate and probably not accurate for Minnesota Senator Al Franken to lose his Senate job over Me Too allegations. But these are so significant, pervasive, and directly related to his job that I would imagine Joe Biden's going to have to weigh in soon, and that I find it hard to believe that Andrew Cuomo is going to remain the governor of New York. Now, what do you think?
I think he stays.
You think he's going to fight it?
I think King Cuomo is going to take this to the very end. I think you'd have to have the New York State legislature vote to remove him from office, which is Democrat dominated. They absolutely would not do that if he forced their hand. I don't see it. I think he's going to say one of two things. By the way, he is set to respond soon. We will join him in progress, the governor of New York, if in fact that happens while we're on air. It looks like it's likely to be the case. But look, Cuomo, and just by way of context here as well, has any American politician in the last couple of years, I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff, you go back far enough in American politics, but had such a fall from grace. I mean, to go from the absolute height of Democrat love, there were people, Clay, and I remember this because I was covering it here in New York City, who were referring to themselves openly. The hashtag was Cuomosexuals.
Yes.
Because he was so dreamy, because he was protecting us from the pandemic, because he was such a hero, right? He was the gold standard. His day-to-day press conferences were
he won an Emmy
with rap.
They made a special Emmy for him, Buck.
He was celebrated with a multiple seven-figure book deal, which is very, I mean, I think it was $4 or $5 million he was getting for a book that nobody was going to read. It was just a payoff from the Democratic apparatus to the governor of New York. You know, it's a good way to sort of launder money for political influence purposes. And yet now here we are. He covered up the nursing home deaths. That's a fact. That's not a theory. He lied about nursing home deaths in New York State. And the sexual harassment that this report actually found was worse than what had already been reported. Here, for example, is New York Attorney General Letitia James, cut 17.
These interviews and pieces of evidence reveal a deeply disturbing yet clear picture. Governor Cuomo sexually harassed current and former state employees in violation of both federal and state laws. The independent investigation found that Governor Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women, many of whom were young women, by engaging in unwanted groping, kisses, hugging, and by making inappropriate comments. Further, the governor and his senior team took actions to retaliate against at least one former employee for coming forward with her story, her truth. And Governor Cuomo's administration fostered a toxic workplace that enabled harassment and created a hostile work environment where staffers did not feel comfortable coming forward with complaints about sexual harassment due to a climate of fear and given the power dynamics.
A slimy tyrant. That's what Governor Cuomo comes across as based upon the findings of this report. He really only has two options. Okay, well, there's resign or don't resign. That's one. But I mean, in terms of his approach, when he's going to respond, I think he's going to try some degree of contrition and try to hide in the, I thought that I was staying within the lines. I've grown as a man. I now know and I offer my sincerest apologies, comma, but I still need to keep the people of New York safe from COVID and to get, you know, I think that's going to be the pivot that he tries. Because Clay, to step down, now remember, his father was the governor of New York. I mean, this guy is the New York State equivalent of political royalty. And if he steps down, it's all over. He's ruined, and he knows it.
Well, it's an interesting analogy, because look at what happened with Bill Clinton 20 years ago. When all the Monica Lewinsky stories came out, a lot of people said Bill Clinton has got to resign. He's got to step down. And instead, he locked in and refused. And as a result, his legacy doesn't really get defined by Monica Lewinsky. So ego is a big part of this. And Andrew Cuomo's ego, if he steps down, this is the end of his political career. I think he's going to have to resign. I do, because I think what's going to happen is his support in the New York legislature is going to crumble. I think he's going to be aware that he's going to be impeached. But in the meantime, this speech that he makes in responding to this, I don't see him having a lot of great options, because he's being investigated by a New York attorney general who is a Democrat. So it's not as if he can say this is politically motivated.
It's an African-American female Democrat, well-known in political circles here in New York State. So it's not a Trumper.
Usually, yes. And usually you can argue, if you're being investigated, that's Trump's play, right? This is a politically motivated investigation. Democrats are out to get me.
Well, that was true, but yeah.
Yeah, but that was reality. That's a good argument to make. Cuomo doesn't have that opportunity. He doesn't have that option. I'm curious how much of the report he has seen, and he's going to have to attack so many different women who, by the way, now may feel comfortable coming forward and telling their stories because the investigation has been completed, which just continues the drip, drip, drip of negative storylines surrounding him.
That was the other option that I didn't get to, just because I find it so unlikely, which is, it's not true. I don't think that's really a play he can make here. I think if he tried that, then the crumbling support would happen. But Clay, this is an ultimate test. And isn't it remarkable that the Me Too component of this, more powerful than the lying about sending COVID positive seniors into nursing homes to infect the most vulnerable and die in large numbers? I do think that needs to be said. We'll come back into this, because, by the way, 1 o'clock Eastern, we're told now, Governor Andrew Cuomo to respond.
Right at the top of the hour.
So we will be here with you in real time. But you gotta get with our friend Mike Lindell's company, MyPillow, because Mike stands for free speech. He will not bow to cancel culture. And so every time you buy a MyPillow product, you are voting for freedom and America. Plus, these products are amazing. I woke up this morning on my Giza Dream sheets, sleeping on my MyPillow. I used a My Towel to dry off after my shower and put on my My Slippers. I mean, this is what you're going to have, too, when you try these products. They're amazing. Go with the towel set. It's six pieces, made in the USA, extremely absorbent cotton, yet still provides that soft feel you look for in a towel. Clay, best towels I've ever owned, and a great price right now.
Incredible value right now. We've got them all throughout the house. Two bath, two hand towel, two washcloths. It usually retails for $109.99. For a limited time, you get this for the low price of $39.99 with the promo code Clay and Buck. You get a 60-day money-back guarantee, and you might be wondering, how do I do this? All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials to get an insanely low price. $39.99 on the towel set. That is $70 cheaper than it ordinarily would be. You will find deep discounts on other MyPillow products as well. All you have to do is enter the promo code Clay and Buck or call 800-792-3269 for these great radio specials. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We are rolling through the Tuesday edition of the program. Lots of breaking news. You're just joining us. Andrew Cuomo, 11 different women he sexually harassed, according to the New York Attorney General's findings. He is scheduled to talk at the top of the next hour in a few minutes. We will try and go live to see what Andrew Cuomo says. Buck Sexton, do they have to take away the Emmy Award? Remember, this was such a media-created show. Everything about Andrew Cuomo was predicated on the idea that he was the anti-Trump. He was the avuncular but somewhat stern dad who was doing daily updates and briefings with his PowerPoints. He got multi-million dollars to write a book about how New York had triumphed over COVID, even though, if you look at the data, pretty clear that New York not only did worse with COVID, but did worse than almost any city anywhere in the world has done responding to COVID. And so all of this was a media created farce. And to your point, Buck, and I think it's a good one, the DOJ decided they weren't going to look into the thousands and thousands of people who died in nursing homes because of the misguided decision by Andrew Cuomo to send back in infected patients into those nursing homes. And it might be, ironically enough, the 11 different women's stories that he sexually harassed them that ends up bringing down his tenure as the governor of New York. But, I mean, they created a special Emmy Award for this guy, Buck. I don't know that we've ever seen anything more ridiculous. Maybe they're going to have to rescind it.
But don't we have to also think about this in the context of, gee, I wonder why people don't trust the Democrat corporate media when it comes to anything having to do with pandemic response. Gee, I wonder. They managed to elevate this serial sexual harassing buffoon who only has the job because of who his dad is in the first place into being the great hero right along with Fauci. I mean, remember when Fauci and Cuomo were appearing together on TV?
Yeah.
And they were saying they were like Tango and Cash or, you know, Batman and Robin or whatever. I mean, what a just catastrophic embarrassment. But yet he had a brother at CNN, as we know.
Oh, yeah.
Who was advising him, you know, Bro Cuomo, as we call him. He doesn't like to be called other things. Bro Cuomo.
Fredo.
Oh, you did it.
I called him Fredo. I'm in New York. He might beat me up. I don't know if I'm safe.
You bump into him at brunch, he's going to throw you down the stairs. So anyway, this is the reality here, folks. The governor of New York is in a position now where if he does not resign, and I still think, although I could be eating these words in a matter of minutes, I don't think he's going anywhere because there's no incentive for him. It doesn't matter. He doesn't care. How much more tattered could his reputation be by staying than by going? If he goes, he leaves, Clay. It's like admission of guilt.
Yeah.
If he stays and they force him out, which maybe that by the way, I think that could end up happening, but if he stays and they force him out, he gets to say, this was a, you know, right now it wouldn't fly to say it's a witch hunt, but give it a year, give it 18 months, and all of a sudden the Cuomo brand has to make a comeback. Who's saying he should go, by the way? I know you've got a list right there.
I'm looking through the list, but I want to hit you with this tweet. Andrew Cuomo in September of 2018. The allegations of sexual assault against Judge Kavanaugh are disturbing and deeply concerning. We owe it to the American people to hashtag believe survivors. I call on the Senate to postpone any vote until these allegations are fully investigated.
I mean, I look.
Does he still hashtag believe survivors now?
No, he certainly does not. And look, also, the whole Kavanaugh thing was just an intelligence test. It's not possible to be a very smart person and truly believe at your core that Brett Kavanaugh was credibly accused of anything. They couldn't even prove that he met any of the three delusional accusers against him in the context of the actual allegations made. There was no supporting evidence whatsoever. But I digress. I'm with you, Clay. This is Democrats establishing whether there are rules or not. Look, I mean, Al Franken got, remember, he got fed to the wolves, so to speak.
I think Democrats want to get that one back because of the precedent they set with that one. But this is going to, be a mess, by the way, not just for Cuomo. How does your boy Fredo Cuomo handle this? Like, does CNN continue? I mean, CNN's got egg all over their face for the way they allowed the Cuomo brother, act to go forward all throughout the COVID.
CNN is a journalism atrocity. I mean, it's a fraud. The entire organization is engaged in a perpetual day in and day out fraud that they're actually a news organization and not the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party operating through the prism of being a fake news organization. By the way, that's why they're so sensitive about being called fake news.
Yes.
But let's not forget that Governor Cuomo was getting the, you know, getting the variety show treatment during the pandemic while thousands and thousands of people are dying. Cuomo's appearing with Bro Cuomo on CNN air in prime time, talking about how, you know, mom called, where, you know, why didn't you call her back? Aha. It was all so funny and cute, right? Yeah, we'll see if there's any consequences for this guy. You got another one?
Yeah, look, we were just talking about Chris Cuomo. He testified as a part of the New York AG investigation, confirmed that he was part of a small team of advisors that helped respond to the sexual harassment claims while being employed by CNN.
I mean, if CNN had any ethics, he would have to go too. But fortunately for Bro Cuomo, CNN does not.
Zero ethics. So, but we'll see. We've got the press conference. Who knows what he's going to say? Drama time on the Clay and Buck Show.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.